Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show. They be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul,
is you living?
We all under attack,
is you different?
I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner.
Gang got their sights on him,
on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like, how my pills dead, they took the wrong. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it. Really trying to be about it, never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then? Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence.
Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, ma.
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstates for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed.
May he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me. Knowing prison dangers. Doing time with lifers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go up 50 times. Same excuse every time. Serious nature of the crime. I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and not repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
And we're here tonight once again, Point of Impact, Point of Impact. We want to welcome everyone out tonight. Our beautiful brother Malai is on his way back on the train right now, so he's not going to be able to be here with us, but he's listening in. And so we want to welcome everybody out to the Point of Impact show tonight. We have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful show lined up for everyone. We have General Payne with us from the original Black Panther Party, right? And we want to give him an opportunity to express to everyone his platform and what it stands for and the work that he's been doing out here in the community for undoubtedly a very long time. Crystal, you here?
I am here, yes. I'm excited, too.
I think it's going to be a very, very beautiful show tonight. And, just a little bit before we get started, there's been a lot going on within the communities, and I really want to shout out DJ Dirty Die down in the 757. They had a beautiful, wonderful talent show for the youth this weekend. It was great. And if anybody you haven't had an opportunity to see what happened, please go to DJ Dirty Die on Instagram and check out exactly what was going on this weekend down there in the Tidewater area. It's wonderful. The children got a chance to showcase their talent. I had an opportunity to sit and watch it, and they were all very, very talented. So please, big shout out to DJ Dirty Die. And most definitely, you know, for everybody else who's been out there putting in the work. Jay Sean, do we have our guest with us?
What'd you say? I didn't hear you.
Yeah, do we have our guest with us? Is General Payne on the line?
Yes,
I'm here.
4187.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Is that you? Is that you, General Payne?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wonderful, man. Oh, listen, I want to say that it's absolutely our pleasure to have you here on the show tonight. And we have, of course, the Queen Mother with us, Krista Ellison, Chief Operating Officer of Freedom Over Everything, and also me, the brother to the people, Hassan Shabazz. Man, we want to welcome you to Point of Impact tonight.
Good evening.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And so because this has been, I'm sure that when we say the original Black Panther Party, and then people hear other things like the new Black Panther Party and sure other organizations that are, of course, may have spent off from the original. I just wanted you to kind of come on, man, and just give the people a little bit on exactly who you are and the differences in them, if
peace,
there are
peace,
any.
Peace.
Yes, sir. Somebody come in on the line? Who's that?
Yeah, this is hello, everyone. Greetings. This is Malad. We had a little technical difficulty. Excuse me for the interruption.
Okay.
Continue,
oh,
bro.
That's fine. We welcome Malad to the show. Welcome Malad to the show. Of course, Malad.
Yeah, I'm on. I'm in. Okay, peace, bro. Payne, how you doing, bro? Assalamu alaikum. Excuse, I'm in the train station right now, in transportation towards back to Virginia, and we kind of, you know, backed up here. So, you know, everyone enjoy the show tonight and enjoy the knowledge and, of course, the expression experience of General Payne. Who's representing the original Black Panther Party, and I'm so grateful to have you on the show tonight, sir. Thank you so much for joining us. And you guys continue. I'm just going to listen and enjoy. Okay, everyone have a nice evening. Peace.
Peace. Beautiful.
Peace, brother.
Wonderful. Yeah. Please, bro. General Payne, please continue, man.
Oh, you were asking a question?
Yeah, I was saying was, I wanted you to enlighten the people on the original Black Panther Party, and then, you know, of course, they hear names like the new Black Panther Party and other organizations that of course, have spun off from the original. I want you to kind of enlighten people on them and the differences of them, if there are any, and just give us a little bit about their platform.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I'm the leader of the original Black Panther Party, and we connect our lineage directly back to Dr. Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale from 1966, the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. So we use the term original in front of our name because we are connected to the original party, which is called the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And also we connect that through leadership and lineage. We also use that to let everybody know that we are not anything or any of the other organizations. We do have similarities. We do mostly have the same end goals, but we do go about things a bit differently. So, you know, we go by the original so people know where we come from and that we go and that we connect right back to 1966. We are not the Black Panther Party for self-defense because we know what happened through COINTELPRO started by J. Edgar Hoover in that time period and how they pushed the Panthers underground and things like that. But we connect our lineage to a brother by the name of Michael McGee Sr. who came about, and he started He started a Black Panther Party chapter in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and that was around 1969. And he had to get the permission of the Panthers, Dr. Huey P. Newton and Bobby Steele. He had to get their permission in order to start that chapter. So he did that. It was him and a brother by the name of Starks. And they carried that up until, I would say, about 1972. And they were able to successfully run programs and do all those different things. You know, Milwaukee is also close to Chicago, where Chairman Fred Hampton was. So that was a big thing going on. And after Michael McGee Sr. decided to, you know, everything kind of gets pushed underground and, you know, everybody started kind of phasing out, he comes back and he starts the Black Panther Militia. That was Michael McGee Sr. who started the Black Panther Militia, Commander Michael McGee Sr., and that was in 1990. So under him, he had a bodyguard by the name of Daryl Farmer, and Daryl Farmer started the original Black Panthers after Michael McGee Sr. retired, and I submitted my paperwork from here in Virginia to Daryl Farmer, and then, you know, that's how once he retired, or passed the torch, I started, you know, becoming the leader of the original Black Panther Party. So that's how our lineage goes all the way down from 66. And, you know, we have chapters all, you know, spreading all across the United States. And, you know, yeah, that's pretty much what it is. I hope that answered your question.
Oh, well, it did more than answer my question, right, because it sparked other things in my mind as it pertains to how you just ran down the whole lineage, right? Like the idea that, you know, when you're talking about coming from the original, that you have to be able to link yourself back to it, right? And so that's remarkable in a way in which you can actually show and right. demonstrate exactly how you are where you are today from the very first, right? And I think that people need to take, you know, a real acute listen to that, right? Because this is how we are culturally anyway. This is how we're supposed to be, right? We're supposed to be able to link ourselves back to the original, and that's a beautiful thing for the people to witness. And I just want to thank you for that, Queen Mother. What do you have?
Yes, okay. I was just listening in and just knowing that we do have somebody who is a historian and who can really do that, because for a lot of us, we cannot. We lose our history and we lose our originality a lot of times because we're so forced to watch whatever is on TV or not really in tune to our past. And, you know, a lot of it is not a good history or a good past that we want to be linked to. Our ancestors don't want to remember some of the things that they had to go through and endure. So just being able to really hold on to that and muster through the painful parts and the tragedies that happened to us and still muster up the strength to go on, it's remarkable. It's needed. It's you know, and now we're in 2023. From 1966 to 2023, and not a lot has changed. It's reformed the look of it, but it's still the same struggle. What do you think about what is going on in today's society and the same systematic oppression that is going on?
I guess that's a broad question, but I have two sides to that. I think that, yes, while we've had baby steps and while we've gotten closer to, you know, our goal of freedom and things of that nature, I think we are very, very far from it. And, you know, we still have a lot of fighting to do. We still have a lot of reform to do, policy change, a whole lot. One thing I do on the other side of that coin with that question is I believe that our people, our Black people, are in a worse off state mentally than they were in the 60s. And what I mean by that is if you looked at our black people in the 60s and in the 70s even, they were very unified. They were very together. They had a cause to fight for. Right now we're under some type of almost hypnosis or illusion that we're free and that we're just out here able to do what we want and you know, live life. And we're working as individuals as if everything is okay now. And it's so far from the truth. You know, there's so many different things that we have to explain to our children that, that you know, our white counterparts don't have to explain to their children. They don't have to have the police talk. They don't have to have these different types of, you know, what happened when you're being followed or store talks and things like that. They don't have to have these conversations. We still do. But we move around as if we're them, as if we're okay to just, you know, lollygag and be free. You know, I was talking to a child not too long ago that was talking about, you know, playing the game Ding Dong Ditch or whatever. And I was saying, well, right now we have people knocking on doors getting murdered, you know, so you can't play these games with your little friends like you can't just go play and do that. You can't have jokes and you can't do these things.
Right.
These things can end your life. So we're in a different mindset. And, you know, our people get jobs and you know, get a little money in their pocket, and now these are considered, oh, these are poor people problems. So it's not nobody there to just continue to fight. It's, it, you know, everybody's feeling free and everybody's feeling good, like, you know, it's just okay. So then when, you know, the people that you see, the activists, the original Black Panther Party, and when we're trying to get people to really go out here and get this work done, it starts to be kind of hard to find people that are going to be reliable and really dedicate themselves to the movement. So when you see us and when you see us out there constantly and collectively moving, whether we're standing up against the police or whether we're standing up against the stores that are disrespecting our people or the schools or whatever, or going to the school boards and all that, kids' graduations, you know, kids that don't have fathers, we're there, you know, stuff like that. When you see us doing those type of things, it's because the people with the original Black Panther Party have dedicated their life and their time to this. So it's a tough job. it's a tough lifestyle.
Right. I know that the type of dedication that it takes to devote yourself to the service, the welfare benefit of your community, it's a very, very tough and a very hard job. Right. It is something that it takes a lot of nerve, a lot of gall, and most assuredly a lot of love. Like, you have to have a lot of love through all of this thing, man, because if you don't have that love for yourself and your kind, then it's impossible for you to venture off and do the work that General Payne is talking about doing. Right. This is something that you have to be dedicated to with your life. And because sometimes it may take your life, right? When you're talking about standing up for freedom, justice, and equality, right? It is something that you know that it's a possibility that I may have to die for my freedom. But in the process of me dying for my freedom, that I can pave the way for my children and my progeny and those individuals coming after me to be free, right? And so, I just want to thank you, General Payne, for all your service and what you all are doing, and then directing that on a grassroots level, right at the problem, right? We're not talking about surface dwelling. We're talking about getting in the muck and the mire of what exactly is going on within our communities. And so what I want to know is what initiatives do you have set in motion today? And how can the people help you on those initiatives?
Yeah, absolutely. And also to piggyback off of what you just said, because I think that's really important, and it's important for the people to know. You know, every morning, when I put on that uniform and I get ready to step out the house, now I make sure I'm shaving my face. You know, I'm getting ready. Now, everybody would say this is a normal thing. I'm clipping, I'm trimming, I'm doing everything, right? But I'm doing it for a different reason. When I do these things, I do it because at some point in time, just like our other brothers and sisters, Malcolm and whoever else, we could be on that cold slab. And we may not get a chance to do it again. We may not get a chance to come back home. So when you kiss the kids, you have to think about, this may be the last time I see them every time I put on that uniform and go outside. Now, a lot of people may say it's not that serious every time, this, that, and the third. But if you look at the type of work we've done and the different things that we've encountered, you will see, yes, this could happen at any time. You know, when we confronted Virginia Beach Police, we went to the station and confronted them face to face. As soon as we got done confronting them, all of a sudden there was a Asian man that was checking car doors that came out the blue. Some Asian man checking car doors.
Wow.
And as soon as we stopped him from pulling on our car doors, wondering what was going on, we go ahead, we leave. Next thing you know, 6 or 7 police cars pull up, pull us over, right? And this is directly after we confront the Virginia Beach police for the way they treated a man in Lynn Haven Mall. So, you know, these are the type of things that happen. But what the police weren't ready for is for a whole army of people to hop out on them.
Right.
They weren't prepared for that. And when that occurred, it became a very how are you situation, you know.
Right.
In order to get my license, they just told me to throw it to them. You know,
okay.
And they threw it back. You know, these are the differences when you stick together, and these are the differences when you move unafraid of the system, and that's how we had to move. You know, and there's been plenty of situations like this. So to piggyback off what you said, yeah, it can get pretty dangerous, and we can be in those type of situations in trenches. It's not always like that, but a lot of times it is. But the programs that we have today. Is quite a few, but I'll try to give you a little rundown on those. We have our winter hat giveaway that we do, and that's where we give, you know, new hats, jackets, gloves, and stuff to children, plus a turkey for each family. We do that. We also have the Carl F. Williams Shopping with a Panther for Kwanzaa. That's where we take a kid out who has lost their parent to violence. You know, one kid showed up. I remember her. Wow. Her father had just been murdered in prison. And, you know, she was still all, you know, broken up, of course, about it. And she showed up in tears and wasn't, you know, ready to really have this day. But her, you know, her mother said, hey, this is going to be good for you. And by the end, she was smiling. She had got this gigantic, big pink horse or pony thing. Couldn't even fit it in the cart, but she was happy. She was feeling better. And, you know, it really made me happy to be able to put that smile on her face. You know, so we have that program as well. We also have No More Silence March and Rally Against Women's Violence. That is to support the women that have been involved in domestic violence. We have that going on. We have the our annual Cynthia Gentry Mother's Day Extravaganza, where we take out mothers who have also lost their child to violence. We have that program, and then we have a children's program also, where we teach them about Africa and Black history, and the history that they don't teach them in school, because our history they're teaching our kids in school is watered down, and they have them thinking that our history starts with slavery. And, you know, and even with that, it's not so bad the way they teach it. So we teach them about the brothers that really did even fight back, the ones that physically fought back. And it wasn't just the nonviolent and the ones they like to tell you about in school. You know, we teach them about Nat Turner, of course. We teach them about the ones that went through the whole struggle, and Henry Box Brown, who nailed himself to freedom. You know, we teach them about the kings and queens of Africa, the first Black female aviators. You know, we teach them about these things so that they can really learn and grow. Marcus Garvey, you know, all these different things. These are the things we want to instill that they're not going to really hear about in school. They don't need to just keep learning about the George Washington Carver and the peanut and the you know, the Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, and then that's it, and then they call it a day. No, they need to learn about the rest of them. So we do that, and we teach them a self-defense class so they learn how to stop getting bullied and can get home, and we give them that mindset that we want our children to have that they're not getting in the school system. And it, you know, because, you know, we're hearing the music and the different things that they're going through, so we want to make sure that they get that the good mindset that we need so that our sons and daughters will have somebody to grow up and marry so they're not ending up with just thugs and, you know, things of that nature.
That's right. That's right. That's wonderful. Yeah, that's real right there. That's real. Queen Mother?
I was just going to say, like, listening to everything that you do, it kind of aligns with the things that Community United Focus, Freedom Over Everything, and PRC is doing. You know, we all have our individual ways of giving back to the community, making sure that our community is continually growing in the right vein and, you know, trying to get past this system and not allow the kids to fall victim to the system. And it's a battle. And just to know that, you know, we are all fighting in the same vein and we have different ways and different things that resources that we can offer, it's just good to know that, and I'm sure for our ancestors to know that we are all still in on the battlefield and not giving up so easily. I don't have an actual question other than, you know, how is it that the people listening can get involved or get in contact? Is there a link or website that you can share with everyone that we can kind of just share with everybody, because we don't know who's going through what. You have so much to offer, so we just wanted to be able to, you know, share that information with the people.
Yes, absolutely. We we're not a government-funded program or anything like that. This is all, you know, straight from the ground, what we do. And we have a website. The website is www.theoriginalblackpanthers.com. And I'll say that again, it's www.theoriginalblackpanthers.com. You can find pretty much all our social media sites from there. Also, we have, of course, a Cash App for donations. We have $OBPVA, so it would be Original Black Panther VA. So OBPVA, that's our Cash App. And when we get donations and stuff in like that, that's what we use for all the events that I spoke about earlier. And, you know, we also travel. We've been out to Mississippi fighting the case with DeMontario Gibson. That's the FedEx driver who was shot at by the two white men. So we went out there with our allies, the Elmer Geronimo Pratt Pistol and Rifle Gun Club. We went out there with them, and we, you know, had a run-in with the police and all that type of stuff. But it worked out well in our favor, and they are being convicted. So we have that. And also we were we guarded the mother of Ahmaud Arbery out in when the conviction was going on for her son, and the men were being convicted of murder. So,
right,
yeah, that was a
well, you know, as
thing.
I
so
listening,
we, yeah,
as,
stuff we have to have
as I listening to the show, man, it's like really, really dynamic. A lot of the things that you're doing in the community, which a lot of people are unaware of, and I think it's really important that we had you on the show tonight to kind of, you know, have this opportunity to speak to a lot of the wonderful things that, you know, Original Black Panther Party is doing and showing up for the people. And I'm just grateful that you were able to make it and, you know, and join us tonight, because I've been diligent in trying to get you on. And so I'm so grateful because, you know, we are people in dire need. And I really love the point that you touched on earlier about us seeming to be in this illusion that we are free people. I'm going to tell you, like, we really have a lot of work to do. And I just was out here in D.C. enjoying the African-American Museum of Slavery. And I'm going to tell you something. When you just look at the journey that we've had to travel and still have to travel, is sad as to where we are as a people in our understanding of regards to respect to one another, to our loyalty as a nation of people. You know, we lack these things that are general in the upcoming of our people. Respect and loyalty is something that has to be reestablished in our communities, and it starts with justice. And so, you know, anything that Community United Focus and Freedom Over Everything, Point of Impact can do to support you, and especially this, I really want to get with you on some of the programs that you're doing, especially with the Stop the Violence program against, you know, women and the violence of domestic violence upon women. We would love to be a part of that movement with you. So, you know, let us know and inform us. But what do you feel is important right now to educate not only the youth, because everybody keeps talking about the youth, but yet the elders of the community are lacking in the example. So what do you think are some of the things that we can induce more in our community to be better examples as elders?
Yeah, that's really good. What we do, and this is the thing, you know the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. You know, some of our elders are kind of stuck in their ways sometimes. They don't want to learn. They don't want to listen. Some do. You know, I'm not saying all. But we go out and we consistently speak and educate, you know, and things of that nature. Some listen, some don't. So it's really hard when it comes to that. And I think that's why we concentrate on the youth so much, because, you know, it's just really been a task getting to the elders, you know, who don't want to listen. I know a lot of us say that the kids don't listen, but man, talking to the elders is sometimes a bit much. We've even ran into some that said, "Hey, ain't y'all the ones that killed Malcolm X?" I was like, "Whoa, you know, we did a it's just the history's off." And you know, we even did we do a Emmett Till commemoration every year where we tell the story of Emmett Till and what happened to him. And things like that. And, you know, when we did that, we had a picture of him, one of his famous pictures. He's wearing like a derby hat, you know. And, you know, one of the elders walks up and says, "Oh, y'all talking about the black cowboys?" And I'm just like, whoa, you know. But that just shows the education, you know, of our history and significant parts of our history. So the fact that that's not known by the elders, how could it ever be known by the youngsters, you know, because elders don't need to teach them. So, you know, we have to educate our elders, you know, and try to give them as much as we give the kids, really. It's almost like a restart.
Oh, wow. Yeah, indeed, right? Indeed so. Because what you said is reminding me of a quote by the Honorable Marcus Garvey, right? Marcus Musfer Garvey, who said that a man without knowledge or a people without knowledge is like a tree without roots.
Right.
Without knowledge itself, you're like a tree with no roots.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
And that right there, yeah, that's the epitome, prime example of exactly what that means when you're talking about if the elders don't have it, how could they ever give it to the children?
Right.
And therefore, there's a missing link there. And then when we see that there's a missing link, we have to become that, right? We have to be the change that we seek to provide that type of education and information to the people in a way where if there's a missing link in the chain link on that bicycle, it's not going to run properly. You're not going to be able to ride.
Correct.
So all of the links have to be there in order for us to proceed on our journey. You know, and so that's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful demonstration. Jay Sean, do we have any callers calling in? Jay Sean?
If anybody want to go live, they have to press 1.
Yes, make sure if you want to make a comment, then please press 1. Please press 1. But I actually have some text coming in directly, and I have some questions. I have a couple of questions here from it's coming out of Richmond. We'll get back to that. Let's get to the caller first.
8555 Live.
Yes, I like to say, you know, hi and peace to Malai, Brother Hassan, Queen Mother, and the brother, you know, that's on. You know, my question is basically, you know, to him is, do you think it's more beneficial to for us to keep trying to go to the system and ask, you know, basically demand and asking whatever we have to do to get the change that we want? Or is it better for us to start focusing on building our own institutions rather than to keep going back and forth, such as the school system and, you know, as well as the prison system? Would it be better if we strive to, you know, build our own? That's my question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good question. And I come across that quite often. I think, one, we should never put all our eggs in one basket. I do think while we are demanding and asking and things of that nature, I think we should still be always trying to get our own. I think that is paramount. We have to do that. We have to always try to get our own. But with that, that's where it comes in with what I was talking about earlier, with the type of people that we are engaging with in our community and our black people that are different from the black people from the 60s and 70s. 9 times out of 10, mostly, it's hard to get 5 or 6 brothers that trust each other enough to put their money together to do anything, just to be honest.
Mm.
And that's why we have to curb the mentality of our people, and we have to learn, like the brother was saying earlier, to trust each other and understand and not swindle each other and do things the right way, so that we can do those things and build those institutions. It is possible. It's been done before. We've done it before. You know, of course, you know, they bombed all our buildings and different things that we've established, but we can do it, and we have done it. But we've gotten to such of a place and to such a place of you know, untrustworthy attitudes with one another. It's become a real issue. And in order to build these institutions and to buy the land and all the different things people come up with that are great ideas, and, you know, we have to have the people that know how to cultivate the land and check that land, make sure it's good for running water and whatever else. These different things come into play, you know, once we start crossing the T's and dotting the I's and all that. So, yeah, I think it's a great idea. It needs to be done. And I wouldn't put all my eggs in one basket because it could swing either way.
And I think that was a great question, Shadi. Thank you for that question. That was a great. And assalamu alaikum, brother. I love you. I miss you.
Alaikum
salam. That was a great question.
You too, my brother.
Yeah. But, you know, Brother Payne, you know, it's funny how you talk about this reconstruction that we need in our community, because we often talk about the need for recultivation and re-education in our community. But and a lot of people don't really understand what we mean. Because when we start talking about recultivation, we're talking about the behavior, of course, the mannerisms, the etiquettes, our mannerisms and etiquettes towards one another. But when we talk about education, we're talking about also a very, very necessary need of psychological healing. You understand what I'm saying? And a lot of people don't understand the psychological damage that has been done to us for numerous years.
Go ahead. Please mute your phone. Please mute your phone if you're not speaking. Please mute your phone.
That's me. That's me speaking, Hassan. That's me. I'm on the train.
Oh.
Remember? Yeah, that's
oh,
me.
Wow.
But
okay.
As soon as I finish I'm going to mute. But, you know,
okay,
it's really
it.
Deep that we all just need to you know, really understand the depth of this psychological damage and how it really needs to be something that needs to be addressed in our community. And we really start to have to start thinking really deeply about mental health healing, with in not mental health healing as they speak to it, but as we need it to be spoken to towards us as a people. And I'm going to mute myself right now. Okay, guys. Whatever. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Malat, man, thank you for that. You know, General Payne, the work undoubtedly speaks for itself. You know, we have a couple. Well, first and foremost, Jay Sean, is there anyone else calling in? Do you have any more callers?
One second. No, it's no one, but I have a question I wanted to ask the general.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, go ahead, shoot.
It's from, like, me and a brother who just called in, Shadi, we was talking earlier, and we both were born in 1963. And we just, yesterday, he was discussing on his show, he had some the youth on it, two 17-year-olds, and it was kind of, it was kind of strange, like, the people that they didn't know about, like Marcus Garvey or Malcolm X. They knew about Martin Luther King, but... And they were speaking about how they didn't have any more interest in school because all the schools, and they down in the South, was just teaching them about white people. So me and Shadi was talking, and I said that, you know, when we was in school in Paterson, New Jersey, we were born in 1963, and then I said Emmett Till was tortured and murdered in 1955. And so... Mm-hmm. 55 to 63 and add a couple of more years. So we was in grammar school like maybe 10, 15 years after that happened. And I was surprised how they never told us nothing about that or nothing about anything that had anything to do with our culture. Or you know, I even did my eighth grade term paper that I think about all the time. We had a year project to do. And in the eighth grade, I did my term paper on John F. Kennedy. You know, because, you know, that's more than likely what I was aware of. But my question is, with the African-American people all around the country becoming mayors and governors and us having the first African-American president, the first African-American vice president, and all around, you know, the Supreme Courts and everything, why do you think they still allow the educational systems to just teach the white people history, and they still not in 2023 teaching us about our history? How can that be stopped, or why is it still going on? In your words.
Yes, sir. I think that's a gigantic problem that we're having, and I always say one thing: we have to know about our government, and we have to know about politics in general. And I always say, left wing, right wing, same bird. Okay, I say that because it doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat; it doesn't really matter. They all have the same agenda. And if somebody wants to keep you on the bottom of the totem pole, why would they empower you? Why would they give you these things in school to say you can rise up and do these different things? Why would they do that? That wouldn't fit their agenda. So they give us these different things, and they only want to talk about Martin Luther King because he, you know, what he did was amazing. I never take anything from him. I love Dr. Martin Luther King, and his way was a way to make things happen. It wasn't the only way, but it was a way. And,
right.
You know, being beat over your head or hit with hoses and things of that nature and just taking it, you know, they don't mind talking about that is my point. But when it comes to someone like Malcolm or Garvey or, you know, somebody like that, or, you know, it's like, we're going to keep that quiet. Even Nat Turner, you only really hear about him a little bit here is because, you know, the birthplace. You know,
right.
Other than that, you know, you go anywhere else, you ain't hearing about no Nat Turner nowhere. You know, it's very rare. So, I do believe that we have to fight the education system. I think fight to have at least a Black history class. I was able to have one when I was, I think, in maybe eighth grade or something like that. And it just was the one class I got in eighth grade I want to say 10th grade. It was about 10th grade I got that class. And it was really mind blowing for me. It shifted a lot of things when you get to see yourself and learn about yourself. Our children aren't getting that. They're learning to, you know, we were victims, we got beat up. They're sitting around their white peers, look at them different, you know, like, oh, we owned you at some point in time. You were cattle at some point in time. You know, and what does that do for the self-esteem of a young Black child? We had in Madison Trust Elementary, this is in our day and time, Madison Trust Elementary was playing a slave game with our children. This is here. You know, it's a little ways out. I think it's 2 hours out, something like that. But they were playing a slave game with our children where they chase each other around and find each other and they hide from each other or whatnot. I've talked to other people and say they've had this game in their school as well. So we went up to their school and put the whole school on lockdown and told them this better not ever happen again and somebody needs to be fired. And they don't, you know, it stopped. But the point is, this is what's going on in our educational system and what they're doing with our kids. So
and see what he's employing to is what they call critical race theory thinking right now. That's what they're pushing right now to where they're trying to remove like all types of issues pertaining to racism, issues of nationalities, you know, like, for example, the Holocaust or, you know, slavery or the Civil War and how it was about, you know, Black and white, you know, industrial and slavery, you know what I'm saying, mechanisms. This is what this is. And what they're doing right now in the schools is they're trying to remove that. They're literally trying to remove that. You know what I'm saying? The histories of slavery, the history of Holocaust, and things that have supposedly took place to the massacres of nations. The history of, you know what I'm saying, how they came and the Aboriginal Indians here. All of these type of things. This is why you don't hear a great discussion about these specific issues. And what a lot of people don't understand, especially African Americans, which is sad, a lot of us tend to think that slavery was something induced in the 1700s. You can go back as far as 1600s, where slavery was being imposed already and implemented as a form of industrial nation building. And people don't realize how we as a nation of people, in which I'm grateful General Payne is really speaking to this, that we as a nation, we've never had the opportunity in these years of continual slavery inductions, where you came through chattel slavery, you came through neo-slavery, you came through the debt peonage, then you came through segregation, then you came, and here you are today, and you're still battling with the issues of, you know, racial disparities, equities of things that we're being deprived of, injustice in education and all of these types of things. So these are valid points that we're talking about and touching on tonight, and I'm so grateful for our audience. But remember, if anybody would like to speak or comment in a positive way, please press 1, and we would love to address any questions you may have to General Payne, and take advantage of this time, because this man is listen, I speak from a genuine place and knowing him. I've actually been in the field with him. I've actually been at rallies with him. In talks of positive rallies, let me just say, I've been in his presence. I know this man's character. And one of the things I can tell you is he is sincere in his desire to help, you know, rectify the issues of a nation, you know what I'm saying, of people, to obtain justice in order that we can have equality in the theme of freedom in this country. Go ahead, continue. Oh, Brother Payne, I'm sorry. I had to put that in there.
Oh, no, you're absolutely fine, and you know, you're right. We have a ways to go, and there's so much to do. There's so much to do, it's almost not even enough time to talk about. You know, our children are being attacked. Our people are being attacked. And a lot of times we don't even realize it. A lot of it is through media and through, you know, entertainment. But also, like you said, when we break down from slavery, I have a whole lecture where I talk to the people and explain to them how slavery is still live and well. What they've done, just like they do with a lot of other things, is they just change the name of it. And really, when you break down slavery and you go into, of course, Jim Crow and the Black Codes and things of that nature, and now we just go to the penal system and the business of the penal system. And when you start talking about those things and you see those brothers, how they work for free, you know, considerably free, and, you know, the different companies that they do work for, even while in the prison system, when they get out, they won't be able to necessarily work for those companies because they have a record, but they can work for free for the companies in the prison system. So, you know, just like in our Constitution, it says, you know, slavery is not allowed unless you are convicted of a crime. So therefore, you know, that's how they've still implemented that. And then they take their laws and force their laws against our Black people. Therefore, what happens? Black people get back in chains. So these are something that we have to educate our people about and really get them to understand. And that is the short version of it. But we have to get our people to really understand that and see what's going on, because if they don't see the trap, if they don't see the issue, then they're going to continue to do what they do. And a lot of our people right now, you know, I show them certain things that they're doing in life, and I will say, you know, hey, you are basically now where you are the puppet off the strings right now. You know, if you're taking the life of other Black individuals, if you're pushing the poison to the other Black individuals and throughout the communities and things like that, you might as well basically put a white hood on and walk around with a noose, because you're killing your own people, and now they don't even have to do it. You're doing it yourself.
Yes, indeed. Indeed so. I have a couple of questions coming in, actually, from out of Richmond, Virginia, coming in from one Angela Johnson, Angela Johnson Thomas, and she wants to know, do you all get a lot of threats? And then her second question is, do you have an organization here in Richmond, a chapter here in Richmond?
Yes, we actually do have a chapter in Richmond. And if you go to that website and put in your application at www.theoriginalblackpanthers.com, we will get that directly over to our general in Richmond. So, yeah, we do. Second question was, what was it? I'm sorry.
Do you get a lot of threats? Yeah,
I wouldn't say a lot. It can be a little consistent here and there with, you know, when something happens. You know, when we did that thing where we went to the school and shut that school down for treating our children bad, yeah, it was a whole bunch of, you know, internet threats and things like that. We've had a threat from the police department to, you know, do something to us at one point in time, you know, but it comes with the territory. We're pretty well protected, and we protect ourselves and things of that nature. But yeah, you know, we get threats.
With
that though, I want to add the most, which people wouldn't think, the most problems we come up against sometimes is really our own people. You know, we have little weird groups that, you know, want to try to, I don't know, do whatever they can to tarnish your name or put you know, make sure you're, I don't know, just, it's kind of weird.
Right.
I don't quite understand it, but yeah. I don't know if it's jealousy. I don't know if it's just the fact that, you know, they weren't able to achieve whatever they tried to achieve. I don't know. But a lot of times that's where most of the hate comes from, is some of our own people. Yeah.
Yeah, that's real. Yeah, Krista?
No, I was just wondering, did you have another text message question?
Did I have one? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I think I did. Hold on. I'm trying to get to it. Let's see. Hold on.
And we got another caller too.
Go ahead. No, we'll take the caller, please.
Okay.
All right.
Caller, please press 1.
4785, you live.
Oh, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Nice platform tonight. Everything I've been hearing has been very encouraging. I want to say that I was born in the 50s, and as the 60s came along, I remember we had so many people that black people looked up to, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, we had the Black Panthers, I'm not for sure if we had NAACP yet, but we had so many people that we looked up to that we as a nation really felt that we were going somewhere. I would like to know, once the 60s kind of like cooled off, when we lost a lot of the prominent people, the 70s we felt more freer as a people, and we start coming out of our, I guess our skin, or not to get taking chips off, that we felt more better and freer. But once we got into the 80s, it just looked like we lost ourselves as a people, that now as we're moving forward, our children and our families are so broken up and lost that do you feel that somehow, I know that you have a lot of programs and interesting things you get involved in, but what really can black people really do? Come together and know that it's no one going to really help us but us, and that we got to stop sitting around just talking. All we do is talk as a people, but we don't really follow through to make things happen. And as someone said earlier, we have all these people in power of color, and all you see them doing is at parties and at events, you know, getting money for things that we don't see. I also live in Patterson, and I'm a born and raised Pattersonian. And I remember hearing about Newark and Camden and Trenton, and it's so sad that they talk about Patterson as becoming whatever, but Patterson is trashy. We have a whole bunch of people that don't care. We just live here, and the rent is high. They're building crazy, and there's no unity, no togetherness, and it's just sad to see a place that they said was rich in minerals and everything just become a cesspool of just having fun and doing what's best for each and everyone on their own. Like, there's no coming together as a community. Even like North, no matter what, you could drive over to North and see people of color, and you see what they're doing, and you see how they react. You know what I mean? And you feel that, you can feel this, you know, they're trying to reach out and be better. But
Excuse me, sis, what's your name? Lisa. Oh, wow. Okay. I was wondering. Okay. Yeah, Lisa, how you doing? It's a pleasure to have you on tonight. It's a pleasure.
Also, it's a pleasure to be listening to you too. Also.
Oh, it's wonderful. I think your question for General Payne was, how do the people like come together, right? What do we have to do to come together? Did I hear you right?
What do we have to do as a people to stop with the mouth and do with the hands and like you said, the knowledge that we know we possess?
Yes, ma'am. you know, and I agree with you. You know, my organization, for the people, we are about complete action. And there are people out there like that. There are organizations that do these things. But, you know, we also need people that's going to join the organizations. You know, we have to say, you know, like you're saying, stop just talking about it and to do it. You know, and whether you, like, whether even you yourself, whether you join our organization or any other one, we have to get into the fight. So regardless of what, you know, everybody needs to be in the fight. And that's where we have to change the mindset. And like I said, the media and the way the world is right now, America at least, they've had us under this illusion that we're free and we're good. So when you feel that way and you're making a certain wage or money, you're just kind of like, okay, we're good. The music teaches us to just fall in love with the diamonds and the shoes and these different brands and all these different things. You see some of our black people, they would rather go get a 1990 Jaguar instead of getting a 2016 Honda or a 2017 Honda. But just because the name is Jaguar, they want to go get a Jaguar that's old and ain't going to work. It's a thing that we have been mentally brainwashed into with materialism and things of that nature. And we have to spread that word to a point that it's consistently getting to all of our people. Platforms like this and other platforms, these are the platforms that we need. Also, to speak on what you said earlier with the leadership, you know, we have it used to be a Malcolm X and a Martin Luther King and a Marcus Garvey and a Huey P. Newton and all these different people to trust and follow. Right now, you have so many people that are selling out in the movement and selling out our people that our people don't know who to follow. They don't know who to trust.
Right.
So these are the things that we're seeing right now, and you have all these different people that get elected and things like that, and we're not holding them accountable once they get elected. They're getting elected and turning their back on us. We're also giving away our votes to anybody that can do the newest black dance. So these are the type of things that we're being tricked with, and like you said, with the party and in the social medias and the TikToks and whatever else. We're sitting here getting distracted, you know. And if you look up COINTELPRO, the counterintelligence program, one of the things was to distract. They want to constantly keep you distracted, and they do a marvelous job at it. So it's the mentality that has to change of our people before we can even unify.
That's right. I think so. And listen, this has been wonderful. I wish we had more time, y'all. I really do. It seems like time is never on our side when it comes to this, because we be in such great in-depth dialogue that we know that it's more to be given. But we can do part two. We can come back and make this happen again, right? And so I know, General Payne, you'll be willing to come back on.
You know it.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We appreciate you, and we appreciate all of our listeners tonight, right? Because we ran right up to the end of our time slot. What we want to do is make sure right now that we tell everybody, you know, share this with somebody. Go to Blog Talk Radio, go to Point of Impact, tell them to make sure that they listen to this show and all of the other shows, the beautiful shows that we've had, right? Queen Mother.
If you're not part of the solution, then you most definitely are part of the problem. Tap into your own gifts and talents. If you're focusing on your gifts and talents, you don't have time to focus on anything else. That is how we overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Share your gifts and talents with your community. Get involved in your community. And always be a mentor to someone younger than you, so we won't lose our legacy.
That's right. That's right. Jay Sean?
Yes. Positive show. You know, really good show.
Right on. Right on. Well, with that being said, everyone, we're going to go ahead on and close out. And in the tradition of our brother Malai, we want to say right now for you to stop and take this time, right, to do something, right, something worthwhile that's going to benefit you and your family, not only in this life, but in the hereafter, right? And so with that being said, We want to close out. Once again, great, great show. Assalamu alaikum. And peace and paradise to you all.
Peace be multiplied.
Shout out, Young Swiss.
I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make your pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future's scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the morning, you I wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.